Well, one of our favorite guests joining us here in studio, always an adventure when we've got Greg Willie with the Friendship APL in studio with us. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well. It is the silly season, so we get crazy this time of year. Cats and kittens coming out of our ears, and we're up to our necks in dogs and puppies, so it's definitely busy this time of year.
And let's elaborate on that for a second, because Greg's so busy. He came in here, we start talking, and I said, "What's that thing around your neck?" And he said, "Oh, I didn't realize I still had this on." He was bathing dogs, right?
Yeah, so I've got a leash wrapped around my neck still. I've got to take off before I was going. So we just brought in a whole bunch of dogs. They're going to go spayed and neutered tomorrow. We bathe them, groom them, vaccinate, deworm them. We got to wrestle with them to give them this microchip, which is, if you see the size of this needle, would make most people cringe. But we have to go through all these things to get these dogs ready for adoption. So it is part of the process.
Very cool stuff. I was all set to ask you about Gordon, pig that was on the cover of the website and how it needed a new home. You told me that that's actually pretty common.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We get pigs in all the time. We actually did a big transport recently for the City of Cleveland Kennels, who ended up with a stray pig at their facility that they caught. And we helped facilitate the move, to a farm that was able to care for it. Our friends over at the Farm Animal Sanctuary took that in, Happy Trails, and we got that pig over there, and it was like a 160-pound pig. This was like a gigantic pig. So wrestling with these big pigs is a lot of fun. So
160-pound pig?
Yeah, so that's what most people get, these little pot-belly pigs, and they think they're going to stay really, really small, right? So they don't. They get very, very big over time. Not as big as your giant half-ton, feed pigs, but they get a lot bigger than I think most people think when they're in their homes. And so when they get to that age, when they're, kind of taking over the house, they decide to get rid of them or let them loose. And that's always fun.
What do you do with an animal? I mean, they're kind of domesticated, aren't they? Can you put them in a barn? Are they good with that?
Actually, they do well in barns. They're actually really good companion animals for horses a lot of times or for other animals. They actually do make really good. They're very social, so they can make really good social companions. They'll go inside and outside of the house. Think like Babe.
Okay.
Because they can come in, then go out, hang out with the other animals. And a lot of times they'll just need a lot more room than oftentimes we can give them inside a house. I mean, we had one that was living in a trailer in Elyria.
Wow.
I mean, so there's... this pig could barely fit through the door. So, and it was just laying in a pile of, used clothes in the corner. And it was enormous. And of course, these people just don't have the wherewithal to realize that these pigs get so big, especially if they don't have them on a special diet. And a lot of times they're just giving them scraps from the table and scraps from around the house instead of feeding them a very specialized food, which will actually help keep them a little bit more compact. So, but they just don't know, and that's the problem. That's what we deal with.
Wow. So I've got to ask, what's the plan of attack when you're trying to corral one of these pigs? I mean, because they don't really like to be approached, do they?
Well, some of them are very, very social, and some of them are very nice, and you can actually walk them on a leash, and they're great. And then other ones, it takes all your strength and muscle to kind of usher them along or corral them to get them into a crate. A lot of them don't like to be crated or picked up or carried around, so they can be. And most of them hate to be picked up, so picking them up is a real struggle because they really don't. I find that the heavier animals, even like, big fat cats, they just don't like to be picked up. They just feel awkward. They don't feel comfortable in your arms. So there's not a way to make a 160-pound pig feel comfortable when you're picking it up. It's going to be a little bit painful. And there's just a point where, when you get of a certain size, you just don't want to be picked up anymore.
Yeah.
So that's just the way it goes. I mean, it's just a lot of fighting and wrestling with them. But there are some that have been pretty scary, I'll be honest. So when there's a lot of pig coming charging at you at times.
I can imagine, no doubt about that. And you mentioned this is like silly season for you guys, right?
Right.
Is that because the weather is so nice and a lot of times you do get animals that do kind of get out and don't come back?
Right. So that spring is in the air, right? So it has that name, that phrase for a reason, because suddenly animals are going into heat. They're going into heat cycles. They're during the spring. They start to have kittens and puppies, and suddenly they have a desire to run. So animals that were pretty complacent during the winter, people drop their guard and they're like, "Oh, I have it off the leash in the front yard." And suddenly, a dog can smell a female in heat from like 2 football fields away. So like they smell a female in heat and they just suddenly just take off, and they just follow their to go sow their wild oats. So that's what they want to go and do. And people are just suddenly shocked that their dogs are often running all over the place. Females go into heat, especially, you know, that's why we encourage spay and neuter so much. So that type of thing doesn't happen. So dogs aren't running all over the place. But every county kennel and city kennel and animal control agency is just filled. They're all calling and asking for help. So we're trying to get dogs in from those places so they don't have to euthanize animals unnecessarily because they're just out of space. And then, you know, to be honest, at the same time when you're getting all these animals in, adoptions tend to slow down for a little bit in June because people plan vacations and family getaways and family outings. They don't want to add an animal until their, you know, kids have just gotten out of school. They want to settle in. And so we kind of run into this perfect storm of lack of adoptions versus absolute need to find animals' homes.
What's the adoption process for you guys over there at Friendship APL?
We try to make it as easy as possible for people. It literally is a small application you fill out. We're looking to make sure that it's a good fit for the particular animal in the home. So we're looking to see what the family style is like. You know, how many kids do you have in the home? Do you have a lot of little kids? Because if you have a lot of little kids, you might not want to get the 110-pound Rottweiler mix. Not to say anything against
sure
Rottweilers.
Is.
But, you know, if you got the three-year-old, that might be a lot of dog for a three-year-old in the home. So we want to make sure we kind of cater the dog to the home environment. If they live in a rental property, we may have to check with the landlord to make sure it's okay for them to have a dog, wow, particularly because so many rental properties have breed-specific rules and regulations. So we want to make sure that the dog fits within the rules and regulations, and a lot of times people aren't sure what those are. So we just want to make sure those things are a fit. And other than that, it's pretty simple, like pretty straightforward. If they have any other dogs in the home, we'll want to do a meet and greet between them and the other dogs. But if it's a cat, we're pretty much going to let you just, you know, take the cat home and try it out and see how it goes with the other cats in the home. It's going to, that takes usually 2 to 3 weeks worth of adjustment where the dogs are going to have to interact right away. And we need them. We kind of have to know right away how the dogs are going to get along. So
makes for a long afternoon or a long week if you, the dogs don't necessarily get along right away. I mean, yeah, that can make things pretty tough. Along those same lines, you mentioned, you know, this is vacation season. So a lot of people, if they don't have the option of giving the dog to a family member or a friend to take care of for a week, a lot of people will send them and they'll send them to a kennel, right? I mean, because a lot of times that's the only option you've got. Any tips you can offer for that when you're sending a dog to a kennel for a week?
So if you're doing boarding kennels are, each boarding kennel is going to have its own rules and regulations.
Okay.
I do like a lot of the boarding kennels that are attached to veterinary clinics because you can make sure that if there's an emergency or something happens, they're going to have a vet hospital in on site to actually care for your animals. But other places are really, really great, like the Camp Bow Wows of the world, and you can go there and let your dog go. But they're going to need a Bordetella vaccine. You're going to need a rabies vaccine. You're need to be up to date on all your shots. It's a good time to talk about the canine influenza vaccine. I do recommend that people get that now if they're going to be boarding their animal for any length of time. So those are all important factors that they're going to need to take into account. Be honest with them, too. If your dog does not really care for other dogs, let them know in advance. Don't let them kind of stumble onto that. So any information you can give them is going to be really important.
Speaking of information also, you know, it's going to get into the 90s tomorrow, mid-90s they're talking about on Saturday. And obviously when you talk about those kinds of extreme temperatures, you know, you just can't leave your car, or should say you can't leave your dog in a car. You probably shouldn't walk your dog too much outside either, should you? I mean, I guess I always think about that. I see people walking their dogs and I wonder how long that poor dog's been out there, because certain dogs that have a lot of fur, they can't be out there too long, can they?
So that varies on a lot of factors. So it can vary on age. It can vary on different a couple of different things. If your dog is probably 7+ and getting into those senior years, you definitely want to shorten that length of a walk. If you're going on long walks or in the park or in other places, you know, like going for a walk in the metro parks is oftentimes going to be a better walk than walking on a sidewalk or a paved street or something along those lines. Obviously, that sidewalk's going to be a lot hotter. But if you're walking on a trail in the metro parks, it's going to be cooler. So this is a really good time to get the dog out under those canopy of trees, a lot of shade. Bring a water bottle with you. Those are always great. They have little doggy fold away like little bowls. They cost like $1.50. It's a great investment. You get them and they just come in a little plastic bag and you open them up and it makes a water bowl that you can take with you anywhere you go. And then you just fill it up with some water along the way and make sure you make frequent stops. If it's an older dog, yeah, short walks, bring them in. Get them in. Heat stroke is a real potential danger for them. Don't leave your dogs in the car. That goes without saying. And by the way, over 78 degrees, don't leave your dog in a car, period. You know, I think that's the rule of thumb at this point is 78 degrees is like that max cutoff point. It gets really super hot inside those cars. So, yeah, you leave the car running. I saw one the other day. It was really funny. They had a little note on the side of the car. My car is running. Do not break my window. So that was, yeah. And make sure, you know, report, you know, try to do your best efforts within a short amount of time to call the police or call someone before you bust someone's window open or break into a car. Go into the store, see if they'll make an announcement. You do have a little bit of window of time if you notice that to actually make those that effort. So before you break into a window.
So if the outdoor temperature is over 78 degrees.
Yeah, if it's sunny and over 78, you really shouldn't leave. 90 degrees is downright cooking. I mean, like, you just think about it when you get in your car after you go out and you're getting in your car.
Sure.
It is so freaking hot when you walk into that car. It's a death sentence for children and, you know, infants, obviously toddlers, and of course dogs as well. So
no doubt about that. Again, we're talking with Greg Willie with the Friendship APL. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And I saw something. I didn't realize you guys did this. You guys actually partner with Visiting Angels, and you guys bring pets to nursing homes. Tell us about this whole process. This sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, this is actually one of the our favorite things that we get to do. I wish I got to do it as much as my volunteers and my other staff get to do it. But there's nothing more rewarding than going and visiting these nursing homes where people – you know, a lot of people that go into these nursing home situations have to give up their pets as part of the process when they're going to assisted living. So that's very heartbreaking for them. And giving them that little bit of joy of bringing an animal in that they can visit with, sit with, and spend some time holding is just seeing the smiles on their faces and the stories they get to tell about their animals and listen to all those amazing things. It's just really rewarding. And at one place, the Rose, we get to go and visit. We actually get to go into the kind of dementia area, and a lot of these people are so closed off and so shut down, but you put a kitten in their lap or a puppy in their lap and they will just lighten up and just open up. And these are people that oftentimes have trouble speaking or communicating or connecting with the rest of society, but they'll make a connection through that animal, and it's unbelievable. It's so, like I said, so touching.
Very cool stuff. Now, I read that, and I thought, man, that's awesome. That's a heck of an idea. I remember, boy, when my grandma was in a nursing home, we would bring our little Boston Terrier in there, and he lit the place up. I mean, he just lit the entire place up. Everybody wanted to come over and pet him. And like you said, you get a lot of folks that get into that situation, maybe not always the most social of folks, but all of a sudden, they see a dog come in there. They see a cat come in there. It's like it reminds them. Like you said, when you get into a situation like that, a lot of times you have a pet taken from you. And it just reminds you of just how great that was at one point to have the responsibility of taking care of a pet.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, it just brings back flooding memories. You see them just light up. And not only that, you know, it's funny because it's not just the residents, the staff. I mean, that's a demanding job. That is a really hard job. And you'll just even see the staff that have to do this really hard work. And they'll just, that brightens their day too, just to have those dogs kind of come through. And, you know, it's like being in a hospital and you see those therapy dogs that come through. And, you know, partially it's for the patients and partially it's for the families. And you'll see a lot of the families just need that moment to just connect. And it's just, it's amazing what an animal can do to brighten your day or your spirits.
I saw a gigantic one. He was about a 120-pound golden retriever named Jacob. He was at Crocker Park. We saw him about a year ago. And, I mean, that he sat there and just let 400 million people come by and pet him. He thought that was the greatest thing in the world, but you're right. It's even in that environment, you know, he's a therapy dog, and that way he wasn't necessarily there for that purpose. He was just there hanging out.
Right.
But even people just casually coming by, I mean, you get a chance to pet a gigantic dog that just kind of rolls over on his side and says, okay, pet away. Makes a big difference.
It can make your day. It can really just, you know, turn that brown upside down. I say it like that, but that's really what it can do. The power of an animal, it's to just change your outlook is so rewarding because, you know, that's what they're there to kind of remind us you know, how to live, you know, to let certain things go, to just roll over and get a belly rub, to stop and smell the flowers, to enjoy the outdoors, to be silly and fun and just play a game of fetch. And, you know, that's and how great an experience just playing with a tennis ball can be, just how much joy they can get out of something so simple is so amazing. And we oftentimes lose sight of that and make everything so complicated and our lives so hectic. And they can remind us just to simplify and slow down and enjoy the little things.
You guys often have volunteer events, and I know it's really cool because people who volunteer for you, they always seem to have a great time because, as you mentioned, it's very rewarding work. What kinds of things are you guys looking for when it comes to volunteers? I know you guys have several different kinds.
Oh, yeah. So we have everything from kennel cleaners and kennel help and helping us feed the animals in the morning. This is an early morning job for the early morning people that like to get up early and get to work. We really need help on that end. But we also need dog walkers, cat socialization, and, you know, you mentioned going and doing this Visiting Angels project, and we need volunteers to go and take animals to the nursing homes. We need volunteers to go and do those types of things and go out to our adoption events, take animals places, get out into the community with them, and help spread the word of what we do. So our next orientation is July 14th. It's at 10 a.m. People can feel free to come out there. You don't have to sign up or register. It's at the shelter. We do require children be 10 years or older. But one of the things that we're really encouraging right now is if you've got kids that have to do summer reading, come by, drop them, you know, come by with them, let them do summer reading with the animals. They can actually read to the cats and the dogs, and it's really enjoyable for the animals to just curl up in a lap or lay down and relax and listen to kids read aloud. It's good for the kids. There's no judgment. They can read aloud, and the dogs and the cats just really, really love that experience of that connection.
Very cool stuff. Well, we can't let you out of here without patting you on the back and telling you just how awesome of a play on words this golf outing you guys have coming up is. It's at Redtail in a few weeks here, and you guys have appropriately titled this golf outing, Animal Cruelty Tease Me Off.
Yes.
Wonderfully done, my friend.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Like I said, I can't take credit for that particular one. But yeah, it is a really good, it's a great event. We have, it's going to be a very good time. We do have a few tickets remaining. So they can go to our website, www.friendshipapl.org, to register for this event. There's a hole-in-one challenge where you can win a Toyota Camry. So it's a really cool thing that's going to be presented by Premier Toyota. So it's a really cool event, and our friends over at Schlatter Insurance are sponsoring the insurance on that to make sure it happens. And it's just a really good time. Go out there. It's a scramble, a shotgun scramble, teams of four. If you don't have a team of four, don't worry about it. We have a couple of teams out there that have an empty spot that they're looking for other players. So, but it is just a blast. Dinner's included at the end of the evening. Redtail puts on a spectacular event. It's a very fun show.
That's outstanding. And I mean, every time you go to a golf outing of any sort at Redtail, you know you're going to have a wonderful time. Yeah. I know you guys have some raffles and things like that. You guys also have Wheels for Wags coming up a little bit later on this summer as well.
August 11th. That is one of our signature events at this point. We had over, even with the rain date, we had over 250 cars come last year to this event. It is unbelievable. It's in Avon. Easy to get to. Check out our website. See how it is. It's really, really affordable. Easy to register. Bring out your car. We actually have people that just like to support us, and we have cars that come out that don't belong in a car show. But we have some amazing cars there that are just great. We have raffle baskets galore, food. It's a really, really unique experience for a car show, and people that come to it love it. And we just keep on growing and growing and growing every single year. And Joyce Castrogano over at JC Auto Body does a phenomenal job putting this on. And it's got shade. It's not all on blacktop. It's got a lot of shady trees, a lot of shady spots. And in the middle of August, you know, a lot of times you're going to be on blacktop and pavement, and you're just cooking out there, sitting in your chair. This is on grass. You just absolutely, everybody loves it. You bring animals, you bring your dogs, everybody brings their pets along with them. It's just a great time, and no one's all complaining or worried about the dogs, and everybody's dogs are pretty good. So some people are worried about their paint jobs and things like that with the dogs, but you know, most people that attend these shows bring dogs that are pretty comfortable in these environments. So it's very really cool. Really cool.
Very cool stuff. Three wonderful events coming up. The volunteer orientation coming up in a couple weeks, and then of course our favorite name, Animal Cruelty, Tease Me Off, the golf outing, and then, of course, Wheels for Wags later on this summer. Greg, this is always a pleasure, my friend.
Oh, I love coming out.
Thanks for coming out here. I know you're slammed. You got a lot going on, so we'll let you get back to it, but thanks again for coming out.
Anytime. I love seeing you guys, so thank you guys so much for having me on.
We'll get into some fantasy football talk next time.
Yeah.
You come
on, man. That's right.
Yeah. Not that far away, right?
Close. I know. It's almost draft time.
Almost.
Some Browns might go off the board a little earlier than you in the last few years.
There's actually some players to pick from on that roster.
No, it's crazy. I'm really excited about it.
All right, time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I come back for the final 25 minutes of today's show on AM 930 WEOL.